Good morning. It is a good morning, isn't it? And welcome to First Baptist Church of Savannah, Georgia. For centuries, even millennium, the Christian community has greeted each other on this morning with a familiar refrain, a call and response. One person would say, "Christ is risen," and the other would say, "Is risen indeed." And so let us join the centuries of followers of Jesus as we say, Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Now, in some church traditions, that's followed by people kissing each other on the cheeks. We'll bypass that today. But we do want you to welcome each other. And at some point, when church is done, if you are a guest with us, whether you're from out of town, or whether you're from our city, or whether you are a familiar friend whose faces we see every single Sunday in this place, please say welcome and know that you are welcome in this place and that God welcomes you and we welcome you as well. If you are a guest, we have cards in the pews that we would love for you to fill out and place in our offering plate as the offering is passed later in the service. And so may we worship the risen Lord this morning with this call to worship. This is the day when tears are wiped away, shattered hearts are mended, and fears are replaced with joy. This is the day the Lord has made. Death has no fear for us. Sin has lost its power over us, and God opens the tombs of our hearts to fill us with life.
God of creation, Lord of salvation, Spirit of wisdom, blessed three in one, we lift our voices in praise and adoration for the gift of salvation so brilliantly affirmed on this most blessed day of days. In our acts of worship, may our thoughts turn to Thee alone, and may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Oh,
Join me as we affirm our faith together. We believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Our first reading from Holy Scripture is chapter 118 of Psalms, verses 1 and 2, and 14 through 24. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Hark, glad songs of victory in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has chastened me sorely, but he has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank thee that thou hast answered me and hast become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Our second reading comes from the book of Acts, chapter 10, starting with verse 34 and ending in 43. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, everyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses, and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Here ends the second reading.
This joyful Easter time, always in our song. I love the crucified, the strong to
Our gospel lesson comes from the 20th chapter of the book of John. Hear this story in verses 1 through 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They've taken the Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they've put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary?" She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I'm returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them what he had said these things to her. This is the written word of the Lord. For as long as we live, we are aware of certain voices that speak to us from the past. It doesn't matter where we are or what we're doing when it happens. Sometimes it can be in the midst of a simple activity repeated over and over again, something like washing the car. Every time I do that, I hear my father's voice telling me to be sure to wipe it completely dry. Otherwise, spots will form and spoil the finish. Sometimes we can be in the midst of complex things, like when we have to make a truly tough decision. The voice I often hear then is from the Fess Parker film Davy Crockett, where Davy says, when confronting a tough political decision, "Be sure you're right, and then go ahead." Now, it's interesting to me that some of you in this room don't know who Davy Crockett is, or what he said, or why he said it. But for those others of you in this room that are about my age, you remember the story. Voices from the past, the wise voices of grandparents, the young voices of childhood companions, the strident voices of our parents, the encouraging voices of favorite teachers, the demanding voices of a hungry baby, the lilting voices of children at play. all are voices which find their way into the present at various times during the day, or as certain events begin to unfold in our lives. Those voices from the past are always there, even the voices of Easter. Which ones do you hear? After the disciples fell asleep watching in the Garden of Gethsemane, do you hear the quiet voice of Jesus saying, "Watch and pray, so you will not fall into temptation"? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. When Jesus predicts that the disciples will desert him, do you hear the voice of Peter brashly saying, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you"? As he discovers that he's hopelessly and painfully alone, do you hear Jesus cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And finally, we can hear the voice, the amazed voice of the Roman centurion confess, "Surely he was the Son of God." Each voice, each message stands alone as worthy instruction, as a pledge of faithfulness, as a cry of weakness, and as a wondrous affirmation of faith. Easter voices are worthy voices. The words spoken tumble into the air during the most mysterious, life-altering, implausible event in all of history. Who said what and what they said are essential parts of the unfolding story of our faith and enthrone the wisdom of eternity. Weakness. The first voice refers to humankind's sinful nature. How often, when we are confronted with minor or even major temptations, have people said, "The mind is willing, but the flesh is weak"? Or, as a well-known comedian would say repeatedly, "The devil made me do it." The writer of Job says, "One day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came with them. The Lord said to Satan, 'Where have you come from?' Satan answered the Lord, 'From roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it.'" Job 1, 6:10. In Matthew 16:23, we read, "Jesus turned and said to Peter, 'Get thee behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men.'" In the passage, Jesus was characterizing Satan, not Peter, when he described him as a stumbling block, as a person who drew people into behaviors that were common to humankind, but not common to God. The disciples, told to wait and watch when Jesus prayed and admonished to pray for themselves, soon fell asleep, thus falling prey to the demands of the flesh rather than the desires of the spirit. So it was with the disciples. So it is with all people. Earthly desires often block heavenly purposes. Earthly demands often silence spiritual urging. And we fail our Lord at the very point of simple obedience. His Easter voice bids us watch and pray so we will not fall into temptation. And then there's denial. The second voice is a pledge of allegiance, but it quickly turns into something else. The Apostle Peter's voice cries out, "Even if I have to die with you, I'll never disown you." That word disown is generally translated deny. No doubt Peter was sincere when he made that rash promise, and in the abstract, he was probably right. We would join him in saying that we are against the potency of sin in our lives that would lead us to deny Christ as well. But Peter isn't thinking of the effect of ridicule, of pride of place, of the impact of peer pressure, or fundamental weakness when he made his boast. He was dealing in the abstract. Sin and the resulting denial of our vow of allegiance to Christ made in the soft and tender moments of a profession of faith and baptism or confirmation is often fought in the small, out-of-the-way privacies of life, where our fall goes unseen and our flawed character is closed to public view. Temptation and sin are real. They are executed in the midst of concrete opportunity in 1,001 small indiscretions, which amount to a major denial of Christ's sovereignty in our lives. You know when you have sinned. and so do I when I've sinned. It is the distant Easter voice which calls us to repent and be once again with the only person who can make us whole. And then alone. Is there anyone here who has not at one time or another felt alone, lost, maybe even abandoned? Not only by a family member or friend, but also by God Himself. Being alone and lonesome, wanting and needing the closeness of another human being, crying out for a sense of God's presence during an aching moment, all of those are a part of the human condition. In the epic poem, Rime of the Ancient Mariner, Samuel Taylor Coleridge gives the sailor's lament, alone, alone, all alone, alone on the wide, wide sea. And in an Uncle Remus story, again, known in my generation more than yours, some of you, there's the character who says, I was all alone by my all alone self. You have been to sea, some of you, and you appreciate the loneliness as you look out on the four points of your vessel and see nothing at all but water. Being alone is common to a lot of people. And as we recall Easter voices, the loneliest, most painful, most miserable voice to capture our imagination is that of Jesus Himself when He calls down from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? This man, perfect in allegiance, perfect in obedience, perfect in love, perfect in service, perfect in intellect, perfect in body and spirit, one whom God called His beloved Son, this man was acquainted with appalling, hopeless, painful, desperate loneliness, far more than you and I have been. The colossal burden of human sin resting on His shoulders, even the sin which more appropriately should have been borne by you and me, raised such a miasma that God was forced to retreat from His own self. It is as though God was forced to say, I cannot bear to look at what I've done. And Jesus, taking on our sin, spared us not only from suffering and death, which we deserve, but also from being totally and irrevocably separated from God. Only the voice of Jesus could say, my God, why have you forsaken me? I can't say that, and you can't say that either, because we have never been forsaken, never. What Jesus has done is illustrated by the story quoted in the website of Father Tommy Lane. One day a farmer saw that his wheat fields were on fire, and the wind was blowing the fire toward his barns. He lit a backfire in an effort to save his saved grain. After both fires had subsided and the barns had been saved, the farmer walked through the smoldering ashes of the nearby fields. There he discovered the lifeless body of one of his hens who had been caught in the blaze. Sadly, he turned the hen over with the toe of his shoe, and out from underneath ran four little baby chicks. She had protected them under her wings. Her sacrifice saved her young. Such was the work of Jesus on the cross, a place where the love of God consumed the justice of God, where the mercy of God absorbed the wrath of God. Jesus took our place, and we are saved. Because of this, we can hear afresh and affirm anew the voice of the incredulous centurion who declared in a moment of stunned recognition, surely this man was the Son of God. Recalling Easter voices helps us to remember who God is, what Christ did, who we are, and how we are supposed to live. Easter voices are worthy voices. Each voice stands alone as worthy instruction, as a pledge of faithfulness, as a cry of weakness, as a wondrous affirmation of faith. The 18th century hymn by Thomas Scott says, Angel, roll the rock away. Death, yield up thy mighty prey. See, the Savior rises from the tomb, glowing with immortal bloom. Surely this was the Son of God. As the enormity of that truth gripped the centurion, and then Mary, and soon the disciples, and the Apostle Paul, and the emerging church, and the congregations which brought you and me to faith, so it grips us again today. The promises of God are true. Jesus is alive. We are saved. Heaven waits, and all is well. Let us pray. Father, your word stands so beautifully as a place for us to go to discover new truths and to recall old memories. May these Easter voices resonate with us this day and all the days to follow, and help us to understand again and again, with the rising of every sun and the falling of every moon, that you are in control and our lives are lost in you. In Christ's name, amen. Our call to prayer this morning comes from Psalm 62. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. Lord Jesus Christ, we who are but cosmic dust bow before the majesty and glory of your presence, once one who walked among us, now present through the mystery of your Holy Spirit. For the unimaginable reality of your gift of forgiveness and salvation, we offer you in these moments words of profound gratitude. However, we realize that words alone are not enough. So we yield unto you as much of our lives as we are able. Some of us offer much in terms of time, devotion, obedience, and means. Others of us are likely to confess that we are slow to serve, slow to bless, slow to forgive. Yet we know that when yielded to you, we are empowered to be far more valuable to your kingdom than we ever imagined. So use us, Lord, each one, according to his or her gifts, abilities, and determination. Help us to touch the lives of those who touch ours with self-giving love, with mercy, with humility, and with justice. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, I ask you to comfort those who mourn, heal those who suffer, and strengthen those who are challenged. For the members of our families and our church family, and for those who are guests among us, cast your gifts of acceptance and forgiveness and salvation such that all your children may be gathered one day in the splendid abode you have prepared for them. Lord, in your mercy. For your ministry among us, for the martyrdom of your earliest disciples, for the faithfulness of generations of men and women and children, and for the fortitude of those faithful who have preserved your written word for our instruction and encouragement, we give you thanks. We bless you, Lord. We bless you and offer you our testimony of praise and faith as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Today we have hope because Christ is alive. We have hope that the darkness we feel and that we see no longer has the final word. For the light of life, Jesus has conquered the darkness. Every week, this community gathers to protest the darkness and give testimony to the power of the light of the world. Christ asks his followers to give of themselves, even from their material gifts that God has blessed all of us. So now, may we give in hope that the work of our hands may be a blessing to this world, to this city, and to this community. Let's all pray together. Risen Lord, we thank you for the resurrection of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let the light of your love flood into our lives and through us to all those who have been captured by darkness, that the light may give them healing, freedom, and hope. Let us remember the good news that exists for us today. Darkness does not win, death is not victorious, for Christ is risen, and we are raised with Christ to a new life of hope and service. So let the joy of this good news live in our hearts. Amen. This is the table of Christ, the table of our Lord, and it's a big table with lots of room for anyone who wants to come and join the meal. And so let us partake in this meal. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, Jesus was having dinner with friends. But on this particular night, and at this particular meal, Jesus took some bread, and after he had blessed it, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body. Take this. It is broken for you. And do this in remembrance of me." The body of our Lord, broken for us all.
In the same way also, after they had eaten, Jesus took the cup. He poured it out for his disciples to drink. And he said, "This is the blood of the new covenant, which is set aside for you for the remission of sin." He asked them to drink all of it.
Thank you.
The night that was celebrated with the first Lord's Supper, before it became embodied in the life of the church, was a time of great sadness and worry. The disciples weren't really sure what was going to happen. And then when Jesus talks about his body and blood being sacrificed for them, they began to have a greater understanding, but it wasn't really clear until this day, more than 2,000 years ago. So we come to the table seriously, but we also come with celebration. It's a time of great joy for us to share the cup and the bread that represent so much in our lives and which make it very clear that Jesus is alive, and because he's alive, we too are alive. So Jesus said, "This is my blood that's shed for many for the remission of sin. And I won't drink again of this cup or eat the bread until the day of the Lord comes." Drink ye all. It is part of the custom of every Baptist church that at the close of the service, there's an opportunity for people to make a decision. Decisions can be made right where you are. They can be made weeks ahead and confirmed on this day. Or they can be prompted decisions, which make you think very seriously about your relationship to Jesus Christ and his claim on your life and the obedience that you owe him. So as we sing this concluding hymn, please know that the doors of this church are open. And if you would like to make a profession of faith, I'm here to receive you. If it's time in your life for you to rededicate your life, you can do that coming forward or right where you're seated. And if you would like to have a moment of prayer, I would be glad to have that time with you as well. Let us stand and sing together. Yeah.
Y'all can be seated for a moment. Again, welcome to those who are guests today. We have folks from all over the country. We've got folks from Virginia and South Carolina and Wisconsin and North Carolina and California and New York and Maryland and Missouri and Ohio and Germany. So, and Savannah, Georgia, by the way. Y'all are here too. But it is good to have you here today. Please give our folks a chance to say hello and welcome. And if you need any good advice on good restaurants, they'll do that too. A few announcements for this week. Really, only one. Our Wednesday night, we will be back on Wednesday night this week. And so if you are in town, dinner is at 5 and our program is at 6. And so we would love to see you there. A couple of things for today. One, there, as you can see when you came in, there was our cross with all of the beautiful flowers that are on there. Thank you to all of you who were out there this morning putting those flowers on there. It looks gorgeous. And I know that many people will love to have pictures with their family and such once worship is done. And two, since this is a first Sunday in the narthex, there will be some ushers with an offering plate for our benevolence offering. We use those monies to help those in need in our community throughout this next month. So there'll be some folks if you would like to contribute to that. Now, would you stand for our pastoral benediction and our choral response?
It has been wonderful having all of you here with us this morning. And for those who are visiting, we hope that you will thoroughly enjoy this wonderful weather. It has been very cold, but today is just glorious. Great to be, a great day to be in Savannah, and great to see you here worshiping our Lord. And now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, go with God. Amen.
Oh. listening to a worship service of First Baptist Church of Savannah. We also invite you to worship with us in person each Sunday at 11 a.m. in our sanctuary on Chippewa Square. All are welcome.